Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. This is episode number 19 of the Midlife Crisis Podcast. Basketball is back on the forefront on the podcast. If I asked the average fan who was the all-time leading scorer in New Jersey, probably nobody would think it would be somebody on the girl side. I was reaching out, especially around Caitlin Clark with her breaking Pete Maravich's all-time leading scorer record. In New Jersey, we have an all-time leading scorer record with my next guest. She scored 3,899 points. I interviewed her father a couple episodes ago, very comical. You can see how the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. She's currently running the Gems AAU basketball program, which is sponsored by Nike in its third year, a very successful program. It's my pleasure to introduce to you New Jersey State all-time leading scorer for both boys and girls, Kristen Somogyi. First off, I just want to say thanks for, you know, setting me up with your dad. I mean, I could talk to him for hours. He was, thanks for kind of pushing that, you know, I guess when we spoke, you were doing tryouts and everything else with your program. And then, I knew about obviously knew about you, knew about your dad. And, but just thank you. He was really, 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 really entertaining and really a wealth of basketball knowledge, very, very hysterical. So I guess it probably was a fun place to grow up in the Somogyi household. So that was probably a lot of fun, but thank you for, you know, yeah. And then also he said that he wouldn't coach you or any of your other kids. Any of his other kids, he kind of wanted to stop from, he coached, but he didn't want to coach you guys. So I guess as a father, he didn't feel like too much invested in that. So,
that was pretty interesting. We never had him as a coach. I mean, yeah. You know, and he really wasn't one to either coach from the sideline as a parent either. You know, it was more, you know, after game talk that you know, he told us the pros and cons of what we did wrong, so that was a positive. You know,
is it you and your brother? Is it
my sister? I have a younger sister.
Yeah. You know, sister. And then how did they introduce you? I mean, obviously with his pedigree, how did he introduce you into the game at basketball? So
I was kind of like a gym rat. I would follow him around to his practices at St. Peter's in New Brunswick and kind of just picked up, and he often tells stories that he just kind of knew I was a natural hand-eye coordination, just kind of picked up on a lot of stuff. And, you know, I just enjoyed the game and going to his practices. So I think that's what started. I started when I was about 9 years old, third grade, with the St. Peter's Parish team. My mother took me down, and I wore jeans the first day of practice. So that's how much I was really not understanding what I was really getting into.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was just something fun. Yeah. And I just remember this young female, one of the players on the team, Tammy Walker. I still remember her name to this day. You know, I was so nervous, and she just, you know, pretty much took my hand and said, come on in. And, you know, the rest is history, I guess.
The rest is history. So, yeah. I mean, for you, I don't know if too many people know your story, but I mean, there are a lot of people that do, but I mean, you're the all-time leading scorer in high school basketball for both boys and girls with 3,899 points. So that's an impressive, career. I think I got that right. Is that how many points you scored? So, yeah. I mean, that's an impressive career, but like looking at the women's basketball now with Caitlin Clark, can you relate to her, and are you happy like with kind of seeing her success and like the crowds that she's drawing? And then like also now you're getting rivalries in South Carolina with LSU. I mean, girls basketball is still kind of starting to really take off. People are starting to garner interest. So I'll just talk a little bit about Caitlin Clark and the state of the girls game now.
Yeah, I really, obviously I'm a fan of Caitlin Clark and, you know, the NCAA and what's going on right now. But yeah, it did bring back a lot of memories. And I did get a lot of text messages throughout the period of when she was breaking the record. And one in particular, somebody had mentioned, we know how you're feeling today when Caitlin Clark is breaking her record. And I thought that was like, you know, really nice to somebody to reach out and remember that. It's a lot of pressure, and you really want to win for your team. But at the same time, you know, the media and everybody's talking about your personal goals. So, you know, it was a tough time, but a great time. And I, you know, looking back, people ask me, how do you even do it? And I don't know, you know, it's, I always say the formula to breaking my record is you got to start from day one right away as a freshman and continue with the all 4 years. There's really no formula other than that. You know, I know Michelle Seidor was on track to possibly break it a few years back. And she kind of, I guess, maintained her scoring average, you know, throughout her year. You know, she was very successful in a freshman year, and not to say that she wasn't, but kind of leveled out, you know. So I was fortunate that I had a great team in high school, and we played a lot of games and won a lot of games. So that was able, you know, able for me to break the record.
Your high school career, was it about, I mean, obviously the focus, offensive focus was probably on you, but like, yeah. Just talk about your playing days at St. Peter's, New Brunswick, which is now, I guess it's going to be, I think they just demolished it. So, I mean, how, just talk about a little bit your high school years, and then who'd you play for?
Yeah. So we played for, I played for St. Peter's in New Brunswick. I played for Coach Ernie Veda, and we were good. I had a bunch of, you know, Division I's, II's on our team, and our coach really just let us play. So he would say, play the first three quarters, pretty much do what you want, and you guys are sitting the fourth. So we were about eight deep, and we did. We would put up, you know, a lot of points a game, 90 to 100, and he let us play. And like I said, we were three out of my 4 years Middlesex County county champs, two state titles and one TSC. Finished, I only lost seven games my entire high school career. So it's a testament to my team, you know, obviously to myself, what we accomplished, because if you look at the record, you would say, oh my God, she probably never passed the ball. The team probably wasn't that good, but we were 32-0 my senior year. And I remember playing East Brunswick in a scrimmage and them beating us by like 25, and we weren't ready. You know, I was going into my senior year, big AAU summer, and my mom getting in the car was like, you guys are not going to win another game this year. Yeah. And 32-0 later,
Well, so sometimes losses are, sometimes losses are good. Who's your big rival back then? Who was your team that you kind of like? Right now, who'd you beat in a TOC?
TOC, we beat Egg Harbor Township. Shea Madlock, who went to University of Connecticut. Our bigger rival was Piscataway for Middlesex County. And then our state final, it wasn't that strong.
Union Catholic was good with Kathy Masters. You guys play. With Coach Matthew, you guys play them at all?
We did. We scrimmaged them a few times, but they were, I believe, non-public A, and we were smaller, non-public B. So our state championship wasn't really, you know, it was like a 20-point game. But the TSC was very difficult because St. John Vianney, and I always say the reason why we won the TSC is because St. John Vianney lost in the semifinals, so we didn't get to play them.
Yeah.
So that's the big joke. You know, we said, oh my God, thank God St. John's won with the Gomez sister. So I grew up playing against them too, as well.
So did you guys play any out of state tournaments like they do now, or did you play, did you play a packed schedule, or did you kind of just played your schedule and that was it? I guess the Middlesex County was probably your, you know, I mean, listen, that's tough. You got a lot of tough teams in Middlesex County. So,
yeah, I think, you know what, it's not like it was now. It is now. I mean, we just, you know, I think our biggest tournament was like a Christmas tournament, you know, probably 20 minutes away. So it wasn't, I wish there were showcases. Probably the biggest game I played in the first ever McDonald's All-American game.
Okay.
So that was in 1992, which is equivalent. It was called Kodak, WBCA Kodak All-American, because they were our sponsor, televised ESPN. So that would be equivalent to the McDonald's today.
And any reputable names in that, or any names that kind of jump off the page?
Yeah, Katie Smith.
Okay.
Katie Smith, who was in the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame. Wendy Palmer, who went to UVA with me. But Katie Smith was the biggest player in that game.
And so you end up signing with Virginia. Where else were you looking to go to?
I tell the story all the time. Connecticut was right there with me. And, you know, I get the question, why didn't you go to Connecticut? Connecticut wasn't Connecticut like it was now. you know, and an often funny story I tell, because, you know, we see Gino a lot with recruiting and he comes to a lot of our games and we've become friends. And it was myself, Jenny Busick, and Jen Rosati. And Gino Gino always says, and Jenny Busick is the assistant coach now at Indiana Pacers, who had a great career too at UVA. And Gino always says, I knew I was getting two out of the three of you. And us two went to UVA. Yeah. Jen Rosati goes to UConn. She goes and changed the entire, you know, program around for UConn.
Yeah, so, they've been on a tear ever since. So, I mean.
And Chris Daly went to my high school. So I grew up watching Chris Daly when she was, you know, played at Rutgers. So, you know, that decision was tough. But for me, going to UVA, it was a no-brainer. Don Staley was graduating and Tammy Reese was graduating. Yeah. So it was an opportunity for me to come right in.
I was going to touch on that. Don Staley, I mean, listen, where I went to college, there was a lot of kids from Philly. They said she probably could beat most boys in the Philly public league. Like, she was a great, great player. Obviously, a great coach in South Carolina. Did you guys cross paths at all at Virginia, like in a recruiting process at all?
Yeah. In the recruiting process, you know, I know Dawn, and one of the girls who actually was our equipment manager ended up staying linked to Dawn, and she's Dawn's personal assistant now. So we still keep in contact. And, you know, I actually got Dawn Staley's locker when I got there. So I thought, okay, Oh my God, this is, you know, you know, we have great respect for her. Again, Tammy Reese is the head coach at Rhode Island now. So she recruits a lot of our players with the GEMS program. So we all still keep in touch.
Yeah. So, and you went down to Virginia. I don't know what that coach was thinking. Yeah. You know, like, you just never really, the career didn't really kind of pan out the way you want it your freshman year. So just like, you know, and you thought of change. Your dad had a kind of similar situation. We went to New Mexico and then, you know, he ended up coming back to Rutgers. So you went to Rutgers. I guess you ended up playing with Teresa Grenz was still there. She was the coach at the time, correct?
Right. Yeah. You know, it's, you know, you're young when you make the decision, you're 18, you know, looking back, I probably wish I would have stayed, but you know, I didn't. And, you know, a message out there to a lot of these incoming freshmen, you kind of almost have to wait your turn. But I think the situation when I was in was a little bit different. I think I, you know, probably should have played more than I did, but, you know, it's hindsight. And you just got to be prepared as a freshman and be prepared. You know, it's tough. It really is tough with that higher level NCAA play. And then I transferred, you know, back to Rutgers, which, you know, it was fine. I ended up playing 3 years there, but I had, you know, three different coaches. So then I had Teresa Grenz, and then Teresa left to Illinois, and then Coach Vivian Stringer came in. Yeah. So, you know, it was three different coaches in, you know, a matter of
Did you play with Cheryl Kopp? I know she went to Rutgers. Was she there?
Yeah, no, Cheryl graduated. Well, was she you know, when I transferred in, she had just graduated. So
yeah, because she went to the same grammar school I did, and like she played on our boys team. She was that good. And she by far was the best player, but she had a phenomenal career at Union Catholic. So, I mean, 1,000-point score, 2 state championships. So we went to Rutgers and so, but I mean, how was C. Vivian Stringer? How was, did you know, like coming in, like this is like going to be something special? Like she really kind of propelled the program, propelled the program to another level. So
she did. She, you know, I mean, the tradition at Rutgers goes back to Chris Daly, Mary Klinger, Patty Coyle, you know, Teresa Grenz. So the tradition of Rutgers was always there. I think there was just a time where, you know, it was kind of losing its lore, I guess, so to speak, you know, and I think Vivian came into the picture and really recruited the top players around the country, you know, and led the team, you know, to a Final Four. So when I was a senior, those girls were all freshmen, that Final Four team. So, you know, she came in and got, you know, the players and did the job that she was supposed to at Rutgers.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And she had a, you know, Hall of Fame career, but, you know, you know, I know you're involved in the AAU program. Did you play AAU? Was there a girls' AAU time in high school? So, I mean, was there a lot of programs? AAU?
No, there was like maybe like three or four, not like it is today. We were the New Jersey Monarchs, coached by Karen Fasello up in Belleville. I actually started at Trenton AAU and then we went up to Belleville. And, you know, now like it's different. Like the EYBL, you'll have a lot of Division I's on your team. But back then it was very few. Like it would be one team of like 8 to 9 kids that are, were going D1 of the best kids in the state. You know, it wasn't watered down like it is now. EYBL isn't watered down, but when I grew up, you know, it was all the best kids. And then you would go to the national tournament. Now is all little mini tournaments and exposure events and recruiting periods. Not just like one, and camps were very popular too when I grew up. So that was another thing that.
And I know the there was a the New Jersey Gems. They played at Dunn Sports Arena. Is that how you named your? Are you affiliated with the New Jersey Cardinals or is it the Gems?
Yes.
So I mean, what's the program that you're affiliated with now that you're kind of in coaching now? So
yeah, so we started Gems about 15 years ago. Very successful. Program in, you know, all across the country. And then Nike came in and gave us a contract. And so we just completely switched the name. And it was kind of, it's somewhat based off of the, I think Carol Blazewski was on that team, the Gems program. So we thought it was fitting. So Nike comes in with a contract and EYBL stands for Elite Youth Basketball League. And there's 32 teams in the country that play in a circuit. So we do 4 different stops. So we're going to Virginia, Boo Williams. We're going to Houston, Texas, Louisville, and Chicago. And those are the 4 stops for the recruiting for college coaches to come and recruit us.
So that's your program? And like, is it your
Yes, that's my program. Yes, I'm running that with my co-director, Shannon Coyle. So the two of us have been involved since the beginning with the Cardinals.
Well, Shannon, was she the one on Rutgers with the team that beat Texas? Is that
No, that's Mary Ann Patty Coyle.
Okay,
she
yeah.
just happens to have this same last okay. name. Shannon Coyle is the head coach of Long Branch High School, and she's, you know, a big part of the Cardinal program. And then we ended up getting this. So it's, you know, pretty big deal when you're sponsored by Nike.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So how did Nike find you? Like, how did Nike
Through Cardinals, through winning. So 10 years ago was the EYBL was established. So I think they started off pretty small and we were yet not a Nike sponsored team, but we were beating some of these Nike sponsored teams in these exposure events. And you kind of got to wait your turn. And our turn was up in because the tri-state area. So one of the sponsored teams in New Jersey was basically losing their sponsorship and we were kind of the next in line. So we're year 3 now. Last year we won the whole 15 and under Nike Nationals, which was great. And we currently have, well, so there's 3 EYBL teams. There's 15s, which are freshmen, sophomores, 16s and 17s are the juniors. And then we have 4 younger teams.
And you have any players? You have any players that you're probably going to kind of see this time of year, you know, down the road? You have any players that are?
We have some young ones that are coming up. Last year we had Michaela Blakes, who was the McDonald's All-American. So she was our marquee name. Her brother plays for Duke, Jalen Blakes. So we had her. Michaela grew up with us since 4th grade. So we had Michaela all the way up until, you know, the last, I guess I would say 6 months. And then, we just have a lot of really good new players that are, you'll see.
And where's the home base and where's the home base for you guys?
We're at a Rutgers Prep in Somerset.
Okay.
So that's where Mary Klinger and Rutgers Prep, you know, obviously they play. And Mary Klinger was one of my AAU coaches. So we've had established relationships and we ended up starting camps at Rutgers Prep. And that's how I got into the shooting lessons was a girl who came to my camp had asked me if I could come to her house and shoot. She had a basket and I did. And then she goes to Rutgers Prep and she's like, well, you know, starting to get winter time. Can you shoot with me at Rutgers Prep at my school? And then from there, kind of just took off this whole shooting lessons, AAU, everything.
Yeah. So you also teach too. Do you coach high school as well?
I just teach. I'm a teacher full time at Rahway Middle School of Health and PE.
Okay.
And like I said, I started I coached here and there, but I haven't in a while. So I've been mostly skills training, you know, mostly a shooting coach over the, you know, the past 15 years.
And so, how happy are you with this, the Gems how happy with the program? Is it kind of what you envisioned, what you dreamed it would be? Or
yeah, it was what we were trying to, our end goal to accomplish. And it, you know, it really, it's eye opening too, because once you get to that level, you're playing against the best kids. Like last summer, we played against Shaquille O'Neal's daughter, and he was at the game. So you see a lot of, you know, great players that you're playing against. And then obviously, you know, the families of these great players and these coaches that are coming to a game. So, you know, we have a girl on our team that's 6'5", and I was at all our games last summer to watch her play. And I remember specifically one of the games we were at, the ball went out of bounds and Dawn Staley picked it up and rolled it back to the ref. So it's, yeah, so, you know, those yeah, cool things that we get to see over the summer.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's good to hear that, you know, the girls are getting the recognition, like, you know, that they deserve. But like what coaches do you see like that are out there that you kind of model yourself at? Minus your dad. I know your dad's probably been the biggest influence, but like what coaches do you see like out there that you kind of like, you like their style and you would kind of copy?
I would bring it back to probably Dawn Staley and Gino Auriemma. I think they just bring a great presence to the game, a great calmness. I think just years and years of producing great players. I think young coaches should learn from them. You know, they've been there for years, but I just, you know, like I said, it's just that calmness and the hard work that those kids put in that really, you know, is impressive, and the way they change the game.
With the tournament coming up now, like who do you like? You know, obviously, you got Caitlin Clark, who you kind of see as a scorer. I mean, it was a little controversy last year with LSU and Caitlin. And now you got another controversy with, you know, the bump with the South Carolina LSU. So yeah. I guess rivalries are good for the game, I guess, you know, it's always been so. But who do you like? Who do you like? And then what about locally? What programs do you kind of see locally that year would maybe steer a kid to, like, or recommend, hey, these are what you're looking for?
Yeah, well, you know, we support all our Jersey teams, you know, the Tony Bunzella at CN Hall, you know, Coquise at Rutgers. So we make sure we tell our kids to make, you know, and encourage them to go to the games during the season, Monmouth, Ginny at Monmouth. So there's quite a few that we want to tell them, look at your in-state schools as well. But, you know, so we have some kids that are that top 25 level. And, you know, I do like, of course, you know, Dawn Staley, Gino, I think, you know, obviously he does a great job local. I think the Fairfield coach is doing a great job. You know, she's on the 26 game win streak. Carla Berube at Princeton. So, you know, she's another in state.
They're both in the tournament this year Fairfield and Princeton are both in the tournament. So
it's nice to cheer for the underdogs too.
So
a little bit different than the boys with the upsets with the girls, but I think you'll see that, you know, coming, you know, starting, you know, in 2 days that you'll see some more upsets with the women's game.
Do you ever go to any of the games though, like the NCAA tournament games? Do you ever go to any game, or do you ever go to any, check out any of the Rutgers games?
I went to see Caitlin Clark at Rutgers and it was, you know, during COVID she had played there and nobody was there because it was a COVID game. And my friend and I were walking through the back hallway and Caitlin was walking up to an interview and we were like, can we get a picture? Mm. And like now fast forward to a few months ago when Caitlin was at the rack and you couldn't even get near her.
Yeah. And I mean, when she was trying to break the record at Nebraska, I mean, it was like, that was like the hottest ticket in town. I mean, if I was that coach, I'm like, she's not, you know, she's not going to break the record on our court. I don't care what you do. Sure. And I'm not doing it. But I mean, it's good for the game. What do you think about Rutgers in the Big Ten? You think that's a good move for the women's sports overall? Or?
Yeah, 100%. I think it is, you know, because I just like, you know, when I played at Virginia and we were in the ACC and then I came back home to Rutgers and we were in the Atlantic 10, it really is a big difference with the conferences of, you know, just everything from just the facilities and, you know, the amount of money they give to the conferences. And these kids are looking for that now, you know, the best, you know, the NIL deals, you know, pretty much what the universities can give to them. You know, the transfer portal is really crazy now. And, you know, it's unfortunate because some of these high school kids, you know, might get overseen because of this transfer portal because these coaches are going to look at.
Yeah, true. And a COVID year too. I mean, they're limited amount. Yeah. But do you see any of the kids in the AAU have NIL deals? I mean, is it going down to your level? You see some.
It is. We have the twins from Morris Catholic. They have a Puma deal. The kid Kiyomi Miller has a Jordan brand deal. Not many. You know, I would probably say there's about six of them in the high school level. But, you know, I think it's going to go there towards, you know, a lot more. Because my mom always jokes and said, God, I wish you played now. And then I know it would have been some, you know, because social media really wasn't that big then, you know. I mean, you know, I had, you know, ESPN, Good Morning America, Sports Illustrated. But, you know, those are huge names. But I can't imagine what it would be today with the chasing of the record. Yeah.
But how did they, like, how did they, like, how do they find these kids? Like, how do you find, like how do you sneaker? I mean, I could see in college, like, they go to the university and they sponsor, but how do they, and then also some high schools have, like, that's been going on for a while. But how do you find these individual kids? So, I mean,
I think it's mostly that circuit, you know, the national circuit, the EYBL, the, you know, these showcase high school games. And they kind of, you know, and part of the NIL deal is having an appeal too, you know, like the twins are twins. You know, so that kind of helps their your followers on Instagram. A lot of that comes into play nowadays, you know, TikTok presence. So, you know, we encourage that with the kids. Set up your social media account, follow us on the account, tag us on this account. And that's, you know, pretty much how these kids get noticed.
And then, like, I guess some of the highest paid NIL, you know, money earners are you know, I guess are women athletes too. So it's just like, you know, it's almost like, you know, balancing, like, you know, I guess the one gymnast from LSU, the one basketball player from LSU. I mean, they're, you know, getting paid, which is, you know, sometimes players are getting paid all the time, but now it's just like, you know, it's kind of, it's taken away from the back room. So, but, you know.
Yeah. But I think it's, you know, deserved. And, you know, we're finally catching up to the men's game. We have a long way still to go, but it's, you know, a lot of promising stuff, especially this year. Yeah.
Are your tryouts done? I mean, if somebody's listening to this, are your tryouts done? Are you kind of set for your team?
Yeah. Our tryouts are done now for the spring summer. I have 3 weeks of camp that I'll be doing over at Rutgers Prep. I also do a ton of shooting lessons. If anybody's interested, you know, they can text message me or follow me on Instagram. You know, and other than that, you know, we're just going to go into the spring. We have our first tournament in a month and, you know, we're looking forward to that. We have some great coaches and yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Kristen, I know I'm catching you after your day. I appreciate you setting up your time with your dad. And, you know, I know we were going back and forth, but you were doing tryouts and stuff like that. So I just wanted to say thank you. And thanks for telling your story, because, I mean, like, you know, I'm around the same age as you. I'm a little bit older than you, but we're around the same age. But, like, your name was synonymous with Jersey basketball. And it's just like, I think if you talk to the average basketball fan and ask them, who the all-time leading scorer is, everybody's probably say DeJuan Wagner, and they would say Kristen Somogyi. So just like, you know, so hopefully it's a record that stands a long time. And you know, listen, it's your name is synonymous with Jersey basketball. So I just really appreciate the time and good luck to you with the new venture. And, you know, Nike's behind you. That you know, that probably solves a lot of financial issues too. So just as far as, you know, travel expenses and everything else. But thanks for the time, and I'll send you this recording once it's edited. So
thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. And I always tease my dad. I said, listen, if he had the 3-point line, I don't think I would have broke his record. So I said, there could be a little asterisk next to his name.
Yeah. Well, you know. Well, he sounds like he earned it on the foul line, getting probably clobbered, you know, getting going. They probably said the same thing. You just foul this kid. Let him beat the points on the foul line. But thanks, Kristen. I appreciate it. Good luck to you, you know, all your tournaments. But
thanks,
Jim. Be well and stay safe.
Okay, thank you.
I'd like to thank Coach Somogyi for her time. Also, thanks, Dave Sergio, for allowing me to run out the studio and producing these episodes, doing a really great job. If you're looking for podcasting, don't look too far. Chops Sports Studios. The tournament's time is probably in full swing. Enjoy the games and look for another episode coming to you very soon. Have a great day and talk to you soon.